of the Advisory Council. The meeting is being recorded. And if everyone could please mute, except for Meredith Chalemi, who will lead us in the inspiration, and then Phil Mandeville, who will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Good morning, everyone. This past year has made us cherish the special and ordinary times. Life is a gift, and it's simple things that we cherish, like a warm home, food, and health. The pandemic has taken a toll on all of us. I've talked to many parents and kids who have struggled with distance learning, including our own family, and we've also all talked to older adults who have felt isolated and lonely. It's so easy to become fearful and to worry about our future as we transition back, and what does that mean? But God reminds us over and over in scripture to not fear. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I read this quote yesterday, and it's a good way to start our meeting today. And it says, "A beautiful day begins with a beautiful mindset. When you wake up, take a second to think about what a privilege it is to simply be alive. The moment you start acting like your life is a blessing, I assure you it will start to feel like one. Time spent appreciating is time worth living. So remember, life is a gift. Let's love deeply, forgive quickly, and cherish every moment with our family, friends, and our SCAT colleagues today. Thank you."
Very nice. Would you all rise and place your hand over your heart in military salute, please? Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I just don't know if the red skin potato.
Hey, thank you, Meredith, and thank you, Phil, for starting our meeting off and getting us in the right mindset. So much appreciated. Hey, Elizabeth, could you please take roll?
Yes. Okay. Tony Olivato, we know, is absent. Linda Barcelona.
Present.
Laval Brewer.
Salt on it and roasted, and I'm going to cook a couple pieces of bacon, get some of that, and make some gravy.
Okay. If you could please mute, unless you're, you know, unmute in anticipation of answering a roll, but we're getting background conversation from some of the participants.
I'll call you back. Okay. Now, Laval Brewer, absent. Okay. Elizabeth Busick, present. Amelia Castro,
present.
Okay. Meredith Chalemi,
present.
Carol Downey,
present.
Elaine Genoway,
present.
Sherry Geyer, absent. Okay. Jean Hernandez.
Present.
Sherry Horn. I think she has the mayor's meeting. Carolyn Inman. Absent. Larry Kramer.
Here.
Irene Martinez.
Here.
Okay. Jim Levy.
Here.
Mandeville.
Present.
Elena Mendoza.
Present.
Crystal Miles.
Present.
Patty Mouton.
Present.
John Pointer. Okay, he's absent.
Yeah, John will be late. He had a GRC issue to
True. Okay. Tony Rodella.
Hurrah.
Barbara Sloat.
Present.
Sandy Stang.
Present.
Dave Sullivan.
Here.
Dave Tetzloff.
Here.
Cynthia Thacker.
Here.
Jeffrey Rodriguez. I saw his name on there.
Elizabeth, my name wasn't called.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, Phil Orland.
Present.
All right, I have you down here as present. Thank you, though. So Jeffrey Rodriguez? No. Evelyn Velez?
Rosario. Present.
All right, Madam President, we have a quorum.
I was not called, Denise Barnes.
Oh, you're right there at the top. Okay, Denise Barnes, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth. Was there anyone else who wasn't called?
I wasn't called, but I'm new. Susan.
And she should be on the roster. We'll get you on the roster. And thank you, Elizabeth. As Elizabeth said, we do have a quorum. And reminder to everyone to please be turning in or sending Elizabeth your monthly hour sheets. That is a requirement from the Board of Supervisors that all SCAC members donate at least 8 hours of service per month in the area of senior services. Okay, now on to introductions. I'm so happy to introduce to you a new member of SCAC. She has been appointed by Supervisor Wagner. And please welcome Susan Doback. Susan, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. I am indeed an older adult, but in my mind, I identify as a 19-year-old with long legs. I was a psychology major, and I had a career in the entertainment industry and in marketing. And in my retirement, I've been a very active volunteer. I the biggest challenges in my life thus far have been producing a show for the Sultan of Oman in Oman, and sharing my husband's 11-year journey with Alzheimer's, early onset Alzheimer's. I live in Orange, and I am very happy to be here, and I look forward to working with each of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan, and welcome. And our guests today, in addition to the guest speaker, who Phil Mandeville will introduce in a moment, I see Helen Cameron is with us. She is on the Housing and Transportation Standing Committee. And from the Office on Aging, we have Jenna Sergio, Erica Danzak, and Renee Ramirez. Are there any other guests joining us today? Seeing none, we will then turn it over to Phil Mandeville to introduce our speaker. Take it away,
Phil. Thank you, Elaine. I am so excited to introduce our guest speaker today. Joyce K. Ono was born in Hawaii and completed her degree in zoology at the University of Hawaii and left the islands to attend graduate school at the University of Illinois. When she completed work for her master's in science and also got her doctorate, she did postdoctoral work at the Division of Neuroscience at the Beckman Research Center in the City of Hope Medical Center in Duarte, California. Joyce was on the Department of Biological Sciences facility at the Cal State University Fullerton and retired in 2005 as an interim professor. During her tenure as a facility manager, she served and studied sections to review grants at the National Institute of Health and National Science Foundations and received grants from these agencies to support her research on the nervous system of a sea slug. How precious, all the way from Hawaii. I wonder what that was all about, huh? A model system of studying the attributes of individual nerve cells. As vice chair of the Department of Biological Sciences, she spearheaded the transformation of the biology curriculum, and succeeded in obtaining grants from the National Science Foundation and from the California State University system to support the efforts and share the processes with other science departments in the system. Since her retirement from academia, Joyce has been active in the Oscar Lifelong Learning Institute at Cal State Fullerton She served as the Vice President for Programs for Communication, for Administration, and for Technology, and is currently the President of OSHKR. During her retirement, she has been pursuing her passion. So let everybody understand, just because you retire, you still get a chance. Passion of sketching and watercoloring. She enrolling in a class and workshop and teaching and coordinating classes for OSHKR to share her new acquired experiences, her expertise. She's married to Richard McCammon and inherited 5 grandchildren and a dozen great grandchildren and 2 great grandchildren and 2 great grandchildren. She and Richard reside in Fullerton, have traveled widely, and make annual trips back to Hawaii. I wonder why. Thank you, Joyce. Thank you for sharing your knowledge and your expertise with us today.
Thank you, Phil. It's my pleasure to be here today. I'm honored to be representing OLLI. I'd like to share my screen at the moment here with my presentation. And we'll move ahead. So let's see. Okay, I'm here to share with you some of the attributes of our lifelong learning organization here in Orange County. And we're one of, I think, 3 other OLLIs, 2 other OLLIs in the Orange County area. And aside from, I know this group is really focused on some of the basics that seniors need to have in life, but I think our organization helps in providing some of the things that make aging successful and having a good quality of life. So, as Phil said, I'm the current OLLI president for our organization, and I'm soon to be done with my tenure, and I hope I have more time to do other things. So let me first give you an overview of our program. We're the OSHKR Lifelong Learning Institute at Cal State Fullerton, and we're usually called the OLLI-CSUL. Our program supports the 3 pillars for successful aging, which are, you know, having intellectual stimulation, a way to socialize, and some physical activity. We also have a program for people who are transitioning into retirement, and how this allows you to find a new purpose in life. And I'll end up with some of the ways that our organization contributes to the community. Let me just provide a personal journey. I think Phil has done quite a bit of that already. But as he mentioned, I'm a retired biology professor from Cal State Fullerton. I participated in the transitioning to retirement program that the Cal State systems have, where you can actually be retired half the year and work the other half of the year. And I found that being able to transition into retirement was a really important component of having a successful retirement. However, I only lasted 2 years out of that 5-year program. And so I retired in 2005 fully. As I had mentioned, I'm the current president of the OLLI, and this is after being a member for 18 years. And this is a volunteer position, but I'm also pursuing art in my retirement years, something I had vowed to do when I made the decision to focus on a scientific career. And this was done back in the 1960s when I was an undergraduate at the University of Hawaii. At that point in time, I was contemplating, you know, I really loved the sciences, I really loved art, but having Asian parents, guess what they urge you to do? And so I took the path of having a financially secure career. But at that time I told myself, when I have the time, I will pursue art for my own self-satisfaction. And OLLI at Cal State Fullerton has allowed me to do just that. And currently I'm teaching courses in fine arts. And I still have a foot in my scientific arena by teaching courses in technology. So I'm just an example of some of the kinds of members that we have at our OLLI at Cal State Fullerton. Our Ali began 42 years ago and had another name. It was called CLE at that time, for Continuing Learning Experience. It was founded as part of extended education at Cal State Fullerton by faculty and staff, in conjunction with some very energetic community members who wanted a place to pursue learning in a higher education setting. The founders of CLE raised enough money to build the Ruby Gerontology Center on land that was donated by Cal State Fullerton, and with the understanding that the campus would maintain the facility. So here you see a picture of our fairly deserted facility at this time while we're all going through the isolation of the pandemic. And that's our Ali trolley there that I'll mention a little bit about later on. We became a part of the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute in 2006 with the enticement of a $1 million endowment grant. And since then, we received another $1 million when we had achieved a membership of 1,000 members. And as part of the Osher Foundation group, we're part of 124 other Alis throughout the U.S. And these are always associated with institutions of higher learning. Each Ali runs independently. There's one at UCI, and there's another one at Cal State Long Beach in Orange County. Every institution is a little different, and I'd like to show you a little promotional video of ours to give you a flavor of the kinds of things that occur in our program. So this is a group that's on a trip to China.
Welcome to Ali, the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at California State University, Fullerton. Ali offers you the opportunity to join like-minded senior learners in experiencing lifelong learning in an exciting yet casual environment. We offer classes ranging from current events, languages, politics, and science, to physical activity classes like Tai Chi at the Fullerton Arboretum. Join us on one of our day trips to area attractions, or perhaps become the next undiscovered artist in one of our many arts and craft classes. We also offer additional activities such as bowling, bridge, poker, and Scrabble groups. If performing arts is your preference, we have chorus, band, poetry, and drama groups. Our Snappy Tappers dancers and our fabulous flash mob make appearances throughout the local community. Ali at Cal State Fullerton is the place for active learners. Join your friends and neighbors in experiencing all that lifelong learning has to offer. Thank you for your interest in Ali at California State University, Fullerton.
So this gives you a brief overview of what our organization is like. And so now let me focus on some of the things that we do in greater detail here. The three pillars, as I had mentioned in my overview, the first is having challenging intellectual stimulation. And our Ali website has been critical at this time in Ali when we're all virtual. And I just want to give you a few examples of the kinds of things that we have at our website. Here we have a listing of many classes that we have. Even during this virtual time, we have something like this semester, almost 100 courses available. Normally we have about 126 or 130 classes, but not all of them could be offered in this virtual mode. And let me go back. So our classes are in, hold on. Sorry, I'm trying to do this in a presentation in a different mode than I usually do. Okay, so we have classes that here we go, that are taught by volunteers, and they're in all these areas. We have language courses, we have arts, of course, science and technology, many classes in social sciences like history and current events and humanities. And all of our instructors are members who teach their area of expertise or passion. And when you teach, as you all know, it's also a form of learning. And so we have a huge number of volunteers at OLLI that are very productive. And in addition to these classes that we have, OLLI members are also able to audit any of the thousands of classes at Cal State Fullerton if the instructor is permits them to do so. And during this time, when we're virtual and Cal State Fullerton is virtual, we have access to almost like 10,000 classes and no problems with class capacity. The second pillar that OLLI's program supports is socialization, or opportunities for socialization. You know, when you retire, as many of you who have, one of the things you need is to find new friends, because the people you worked with have very different lives than the one that you spend in retirement. And so they have different concerns and different experiences. And what you'd like to do is find people who share similar passions and interests that you do. And our OLLI supports socialization, not only in classes, but through social events, traveling together, volunteering together, and provides many because of the volunteering opportunities, which range from mentoring Cal State Fullerton students, teaching or coordinating classes at OLLI, and serving in leadership roles, you have another kind of purpose in life that I mentioned later. Our members tend to be highly educated. About 80% of them have college degrees. Of that, about 10% have doctorate or professional degrees. Another 34% have bachelor's degrees, and 35% have master's degrees. We have about 16% with community college and 5% high school or equivalent. So as you can see, by any measure, this is a very educated group, and that's why they're good children to join an organization like ours. The third pillar of successful aging is opportunities for physical activity. And here we have walks through the arboretum, which is right next door to our facility. Actually, I hear somebody's got their audio on it that's interfering with the background. I don't know if anybody can. Can somebody hear that? Okay, we also have tennis on the tennis courts that are at OLLI. Of course, all of these things are not happening right now because of the isolation. We also have classes on Tai Chi, as you saw in the video. We have another one on the Vietnamese longevity stick exercise, yoga, and other forms of exercising are like line dancing, the tap exercise class, and tap dancing, and our fabulous flash mob.
I know. Okay.
No problem when I'm trying to position these things.
Oh, good. Okay.
The OLLI flashers never fail to entertain a crowd. Come and learn our new dance and practice our repertoire of previous flash mob dances.
To be a pro, just a senior who wants to have fun. Join us as we dance on campus and at different venues all over Orange County. Let's set the stage on fire.
That's a fun group.
I can't.
Okay.
Jana, would you mute everybody except Janice, please?
Sorry about this. I have a problem with this presentation having to be in a particular position on my screen. And as you can see, my screen's not, here we go. Okay, thank you. Let's see. Okay, so I'm done with the third pillar of successful aging, which is physical activity. Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, we also have a program for those who are semi-retired and just contemplating retirement or newly retired. And these are classes that are of interest to this group of people. We have classes on personal finances, retiring successfully. And these are classes that are offered late in the afternoon to accommodate people who might still be working. One of our major classes in this group is the free classes on Saturday called the Transitions and Retirement Essentials. And these are open to people who are interested in, who are retiring. And as you can see from the topics in this area, we have income tax planning for retirement, financial wellness, cleaning out the clutter and hoarding. We also have a couple of medical programs that are involved with the kinds of problems that people have in this early parts of retirement and so forth. Yeah, I still hear someone has their audio on. I think the host can silence that individual. I've had to do this oftentimes in when I'm hosting a program.
Yeah, Jenna, could you please mute everyone except for the speaker and Phil?
Thank you. Okay, so I'm pretty close to the end of my presentation here. I think when you retire, you need to find a new purpose in life in order to be successfully retired. And you know, after you work so intensely, you'll find that you need to find a new purpose in life. I found that volunteering my time and expertise has been one way to find a new purpose in life. I think for most of us who volunteer, we don't do it for the plaques and certificates of appreciation, but from the feeling you get of having done some good for others and for the community. And especially for this group, I can see that's one of the reasons you're here today, because you are doing this and transferring some of the attributes from your working life to your retirement life. So aside from volunteering though, you know, this feeling of is really built in that you are doing something good for others other than yourself. And so I think this is something you need for a satisfying life. So aside from volunteering though, you can also pursue a passion that requires mastering new skills as another purpose in your life. And those of you who have been successful in your career, and I'm sure most of you here have been, you had to continually hone your skills and knowledge in order to be successful. And so when you retire, you redirect these kinds of passions to another field. And I found myself doing that with pursuing art. And I know that for me, mastering art is a journey that will probably never end. It involves some of the things that I enjoyed doing when I was working, like problem solving, ways of seeing the world, and self-expression. So it's a rich way to spend your time, and I know I'll never tire of it.
So Joyce, are the classes free or do they cost?
Here we go, Phil. Here we go.
Oh, okay.
This slide talks about the, or shows the membership fees for membership in OLLI. We have, as you see, a full year fee at $260, but this is only available in the fall when we start our academic year. And you can see there's some other pricing for a single term or combination terms. And we do have scholarships available for people who need to have some support to join this program. And this is what you get for these fees. You can take any class that you want and as many as you want. A few have some additional fees, user fees for materials like the ceramics classes or some of the music classes that have sheet music that they have to pay for. In addition, if you need more intellectual stimulation, as I mentioned earlier, you can have access to any of the 10,000 or so classes at Cal State Fullerton with the instructor's permission. Your fee also includes a very highly valued parking pass. Like any campus, parking is a real issue. And this allows you to park anywhere that students can park. Your membership also gives you, while you're on campus, a high-speed Wi-Fi account. And this Wi-Fi account called EduRoam is also usable at almost any other institution of higher learning and around the world. A lot of universities and colleges around the world use this Wi-Fi platform. And many local museums also have this available to you too. Some other things are, we have many of the benefits that students have, like discounts and bookstores, eateries, performances at Cal State Fullerton, athletic events, even to some software. And we have access to the Cal State Fullerton Library. We also have help with technology, which has been really important while Ali was virtual. And we have a licensed version of Zoom for our personal use. And this allows you unlimited amount of time and up to 300 people in any one meeting. We also have a large library of videos. Right now it's about 300 plus videos that are available from all of our classes that you can check if you miss a class. And when we're back on campus, you saw that we have an Ali trolley to transport you from remote parking lots. Ali also contributes to the community, and we support student success at Cal State Fullerton. Since 2010, we've had this Ali Cal State Fullerton Collaborations Program, which we do by mentoring students either individually or in class projects. We are consultants to some of the faculty for some of their classes. We do tutoring with students. We do lecturing when asked at different classes. And we're also guinea pigs. We're research subjects for a lot of faculty and student research projects. The nursing school uses us as well elders. So we're the control group for a lot of their studies. We also contribute to the community. As I mentioned earlier, we have several programs that are free and open to the public. And so if we look at some of these, you can see we have a number of courses that are open to anybody out there that has the link. You'll have to, right now, because of it being all virtual, you need to email us with your request. And so we have eclectics, which are a host of different topics by experts in their area. This semester, with all of the things that are going on about inclusion, is a new eclectics on diversity. We also, if those of you are interested in music, we got a history of American music, rock and roll. We have two medical series. And as I mentioned earlier, the Transitions and Retirement Essentials program. And as some of you already pointed out, we have classes at public venues. The flash mob is all over the place. The Snappy Tappers, one of you already pointed out that your church had them perform at your organization. And also our chorale goes around and performs. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have. And thank you again for this opportunity to share our organization. So any questions?
Joyce, this is Jeffrey with Social Security. I have the privilege of giving a class once or twice a year. As a matter of fact, Russell just reached out to me about one in October. For membership, I didn't notice, I might've looked away. Is there an age limit? So as I'm out there talking about it or, trying to push people to different areas.
Right. Generally, most people are about 50 and above, 55 and above. There's not a real cutoff. And to my horror, I see some people joining who were born in the 60s. So it's we have a pretty wide range of age groups. And of course, we have one member who's going to be 100 this coming next weekend. So yeah, we've got a wide range of members, and we also have a 90 plus program. If you've been a member for at least 5 years prior to your becoming 90, you then have free membership for our program. And I know the Orange County, the Office of Aging. Is that where you're from, Jeffrey?
No, I'm with Social Security Administration.
Oh, okay. The Orange County Office of Aging also has provided input to our program as speakers, for especially for the Transitions and Retirement Program too. Any other questions? Okay, somebody asked about requirements for obtaining a scholarship. For a scholarship, this is done at a particular time in the year. I forget exactly when it is. I think it's coming up in spring to anticipate the fall membership. We have a notice that goes out to anybody that is interested in a scholarship. And there's a form that you fill in, and there's a committee that will go through these submissions for a scholarship. And oftentimes people who get a scholarship are also asked to help with volunteering in some capacity at OLLI as well. So that's how you can obtain a scholarship. There's a form for it. And I believe that form is also available on our OLLI website to download.
Wow, thank you very much, Dr. Ono. I know that I can't sign up for those classes because I'm too young, but maybe the other people can. But anyway, thank you so much. And thank you for all that you've done for America, period. The nervous system, that would be an interesting study all by itself. But I like your paintings the best. Thank you.
All right. Let me just end with this we have on our website a welcome page that shows you all the different things that you have access to. And so again, I thank you very much for the opportunity to share our program, and I hope many of you will join us. You're just the kind of people that we would like to have. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. This was so interesting. I know you've piqued our interest if we didn't know about this program before. And I'm sure all of us are going to be checking out the website today and figure out how we can participate. So thank you so much. I hope you bring the flash mob to my part of the county so we could see it. That would be great entertainment.
Contact us and we'll have you join in them.
Okay. All righty. Sounds like a deal. But thank you so much, okay, Joyce. We greatly appreciate it.
All righty. Bye-bye, everybody.
Goodbye. Thank you. Okay, now we are to the part of the meeting where we have public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Are there any requests to speak from the public? I don't see any on here. Jenna, do we have anything submitted in writing?
No, we did not receive any.
Okay, so public communications is now closed. We are on to chair items. So May, which is in just a few weeks, is Older Americans Month. I have contacted the mayors of all the cities in Orange County, letting them know that fact and asking on the behalf of SCAC that they recognize Older Americans Month with a resolution in their city. And I received positive responses from Anaheim, Irvine, Placentia, and Laguna Niguel. So I know so far those cities will be presenting a resolution in May in recognition of Older Americans Month. If your city was not named, you may want to contact the mayor and see if they will do that. They were also provided with the template for the resolution. So to kind of, you know, so they don't have to start from scratch. So, and I know we have some that will be accepting the resolution on behalf of SCAC. Carol Downey, who was the first woman mayor in Placentia, will be accepting the resolution there. And then in the other cities that we didn't necessarily have anyone, I recommended that they present it to a member of a senior organization in their city. that would be an appropriate place for the resolution to go. Also in May is the Senior Summit. And this has been in the past in person. The last one we had was at Sophie University, which was very well attended. This is where, you know, 100% of SCAC members are asked to participate. But this year it'll be easier because it's virtual. So I have some information from Supervisor Bartlett's office that I'll read to you. There's still a few details that they are working out on it, and they'll have an announcement next week in the supervisor's newsletter. But here's the information they asked that we share so far. Orange County Supervisor Lisa Bartlett invites you to the virtual South County Senior Summit 2021. Due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, this popular annual event will be presented virtually by Supervisor Lisa Bartlett in partnership with the Orange County Office on Aging and AgeWell Senior Services. The 2021 Virtual Senior Summit will be held during the month of May, nationally recognized as Older Adult Americans Month, daily from May 1st through May 31st on Cox Communications Channel 39 at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m., as well as on social media platforms, including YouTube, Facebook, and the supervisor's website. The pre-recorded program will feature a high-profile panel of experts providing timely presentations related to the theme, Safe and Healthy Senior Living in the Age of COVID-19. In addition to Supervisor Bartlett, other featured speakers currently include Dr. Clayton Chow, the County Health Officer, Orange County Office on Aging, AgeWell Senior Services, CalOp, Optima, Saddleback College Emeritus Institute, and UCI Mind. The 2021 Virtual South County Senior Summit will present the impacts COVID-19 has had on our older adult population, as well as how seniors can continue living safely, healthy, and happily during these challenging and unprecedented times. To that end, tens of thousands of older adults, in addition to their caretakers and concerned family members, are expected to tune in to this very important and timely event. So when we do receive a flyer on this, I'll send that out to you as I do the monthly meeting invitations, so you can be sure that it's widely distributed throughout your city so that everyone can, you know, view the program and get this timely information. Okay, the March workshop recap, fantastic. Thank you all for participating in the March workshop. We have a lot of good input. This is where you know, the work that we do in the standing committees and throughout the year comes together so that we can create the document, the plan that we're gonna present to the Board of Supervisors. So I wanna thank Supervisor Bartlett for kicking off the workshop. Erica Danzak and the staff of the Office on Aging did a fantastic job of setting us up for it and also for conducting the smaller groups, and then all of you for participating. You know, the work groups that we divided into, the four groups, those were chosen with intention. So in each group, we had members from different standing committees. So those standing committees could provide input from what they've been working on. And we also had the professionals who work in the area of senior services. We made sure that there were some in each of the working groups. So we had some different perspectives to provide that input. But we will be going over that later on in the agenda when we go over what we will be presenting to the Board of Supervisors. And but one thing from the input, it became clear that the members were asking, as we look at the California Master Plan on Aging, our SCAC organization is very close in line with it, but we need a little bit of tweaking to have our standing committees be in line with the Master Plan on Aging, because this is the format of the conversations that are going to be taking place in the future. So we will be doing some adjusting. I know Jean Hernandez, who is the vice chair, who is the standing committee liaison, he is having conversations with the standing committees about that. So we'll just be doing a little bit of tweaking in SCAC to be in line with the master plan on aging. So that is it for the March workshop. I don't want to steal Erica's thunder from when we get a little bit later in the agenda. We don't have any old business. And as far as chair comments, I think I've made them all. I want to make sure we move through this meeting very efficiently because we do have the area plan update public hearing immediately following our business. So we want to be sure to allow time for that. But I remain available to you for any of your input at any time, but thank you for your participation in the workshops and the input that you provided. So now on to the Office on Aging updates. Erica.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much, Chair Elaine. Few things for the Office on Aging. Can you hear me okay? Everybody's okay? Okay. So starting off, I just wanted to share that, you know, under normal circumstances, this would be a very busy time for the Office on Aging because it's the season where we prepare to go to the Board of Supervisors with all of our contract renewals for the upcoming fiscal year. So we are very busy with all of that. But as you all know, this is not normal circumstances. So we are still in the midst of our response to COVID-19, particularly as it impacts seniors in Orange County. So our nutrition services continue to serve at high levels. We're still seeing about a 40% increase compared to pre-COVID numbers, which equates to about 50,000 meals per week and over 15,000 seniors countywide. And that's a combination of both the grab-and-go meals that are being distributed at all the senior centers, as well as the county's home-delivered meals program. The other thing that we have been working on in terms of our COVID-19 response is helping with seniors getting registered for their COVID-19 vaccine appointment. As you know, seniors were the first group to be able to access the vaccine appointments starting in January. And now that we are opening up to other groups besides just seniors, and those folks are signing up for appointments, we want to make sure that we don't leave seniors in the dust. We want to make sure that seniors that are ready to receive their vaccine and want to register for an appointment still have access, because there's only so much capacity, right, through Athena or those other means, that as other groups start to open up for vaccine appointments, they could be quickly taken up, and the seniors that are ready to sign up, or, you know, maybe just needed some time to educate themselves or talk with their providers and are ready to sign up for an appointment, we want to make sure that they have the availability to do so. So the Office on Aging Information and Referral Call Center has been conducting some outbound calls. Some of you may have already received them personally to all the seniors in Orange County, letting them know that if they're interested in booking an appointment for their COVID vaccine, to contact the Office on Aging Call Center. And we have been designated about 50 appointment slots at each of the mobile pods that are happening throughout the county. So we're working closely with the incident management team to determine when those mobile pods are confirmed, you know, the location, the time, all of that. Once we have those confirmed, and we really don't know when they are until about 2 weeks in advance, because obviously we're still working with supplies, you know, we can only book as many pods as there are vaccine supply, and the county doesn't really have a good handle on those vaccine doses until about 2 weeks out. So within 2 weeks' notice, we are aware of the mobile pods that are happening throughout the county, and we're able to register seniors that contact our call center and book them into one of those 50 appointment slots. All right. Sticking on the topic of the COVID-19 vaccine, I wanted to mention another project that we are working on with the county's incident management team and the developers of the Athena application. So we want to make sure as we move forward with opening up the vaccine to other groups, again, that there's no barriers to seniors receiving their vaccine. And one of those barriers could be transportation. So we have already have existing contracts for senior non-emergency medical transportation in which the vaccine is an eligible trip under that service. And ABRAZAR has been providing that for Central and North County, and AgeWell Senior Services has been providing that transportation in South County to all the vaccine pods throughout the county. But one of the nice things that we're working on is in Othena, when a senior goes in to book their appointment, they can actually select whether or not they need transportation to that appointment. And then depending on their zip code, they'll automatically be directed to either AgeWell in South County or ABRAZAR in Central and North County. And then they'll be able to book a ride at the same time that their vaccine appointment is booked. And the other really cool thing about this particular feature is that they will automatically be booked an appointment because they're a senior and because they're using one of our transportation services, they're gonna get an appointment at the drive-through lane for the pods. And they're gonna be able to go through the ADA accessible lane at the pod. So they're not even gonna have to get out of the vehicle, which is gonna be a really, really nice feature for our seniors. So that's a coming attraction. The developers are still working on it. We will be able to test it to make sure that it's functioning properly before it gets rolled out. But as soon as it goes live, I'll be sure to share it with the group. All right, next item, moving away from COVID-19 a little bit. I wanted to mention that the Office on Aging received a new grant for fall prevention. And this grant is specific to home modifications and repairs for seniors that want to age in place. They want to be able to safely stay at home, but they have a fear of falling, or there might be some simple modifications that could help them remain safely in their own homes, be it a ramp up to their front door, or a more steady hand railing, or a more accessible shower, or grab bars that are installed in restrooms, things like that. So that's what this grant is for. And because of the dollar amount, we are going to be going out to bid. It'll be an open solicitation. And if you're familiar and have helped with us in the past, we usually tap SCAC to help with the review panel for our request for proposals. So as soon as that's released, I will be asking for volunteers. We would really appreciate at least two or three SCAC members that can help us with the review panel for those applications, because we want to make sure that we get highly qualified candidates that can, that are well vetted, because they're going to be going out and providing a service in seniors' homes. And so we would really appreciate SCAC's participation with that. And Elaine mentioned everything that I was going to say about the Senior Summit, so thank you so much. That was very thorough. Actually, she said a lot more than I was going to say, so I'm glad you got it directly from Supervisor Bartlett's office. And then just a plug for the public hearing for our area plan update at the end of this meeting. We appreciate your participation in that as well. And I think that's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Erica. Looks like Crystal has a question.
Not so much a question, just a comment. Erica, I'd be happy to participate as one of the panelists for your review board.
Thank you so much. Excellent. I'll put you down.
I would too. Okay. I have a question.
Looks like you have several volunteers there, Erica.
Oh.
I heard an I would too, but I didn't.
That was Cynthia Thacker.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And then I saw Linda Barcelona also raise her hand.
I will too.
I have a question though.
Cynthia?
When is this about? What month? Next month or the end of this month? When would that process be?
The RFP is going to be released mid-May. We usually give applicants a few weeks to respond, and then our contracts department reviews all the applications to make sure that they at least meet the minimum qualifications before we send it off to the review panel. So I would guesstimate June, beginning of June.
Okay. Yeah. I still will, let me know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, volunteers. I saw Jeff Rodriguez had his hand up.
Yes, had just a quick question in regards to the mobile pods. Who's your target on that? Is it any seniors that maybe have trouble with the transportation, Erica, or who are you, you know, primarily trying to target there?
Well, number one, we want to make sure that it's a senior, and anybody that is 55 or older is what we're categorizing as a senior. And then those that are having a difficult time getting to the super pods, we would really like to reserve those mobile pod spots for those seniors. And then, you know, of course, if they need transportation, like I mentioned, we do have those service providers that can do that. So if it happens to be a mobile pod in a city where, you know, they don't live or it's not easy for them to access, we can certainly link them up with transportation as well.
Excellent. Do you have a flyer that you could send out to us? I didn't see one in some of the info, because then I could share with the offices. So if we hear something, you know, we can definitely try to connect those community members to you all.
You know, we don't have a flyer. I know that's been requested several times. These mobile pods have really not been publicly advertised. They've been kind of on the down low a little bit. Number one, because we want to make sure that they don't get inundated with people that don't have an appointment or, you know, disrupt the flow of those that are, you know, getting vaccinated. We want to maintain their privacy and also not disrupt the work of the vaccinators. So these have really been grassroots efforts that have been sort of invite only. And the central place to access those or to sign up would be through the Office on Aging. And that number is 800-510-2020. And I'll drop that in the chat as well. And like I said, we don't really know about them or can confirm them until they're about 2 weeks out. They are, you know, demand responsive and making sure that they're placed in areas where there is a high need or there might be other barriers. Giving, you know, specific consideration to equity issues. So that's why they're not really advertised through flyers and things like that.
Okay. Have you noticed, is it also anything language part of those barriers that you're trying to target?
Absolutely. And the outbound calls that have been going out from the Office on Aging have been in multiple languages, at least the threshold languages in Orange County.
Okay. Thanks.
I have a question
Thank
for
you.
Erica.
I see Dave Sullivan. I don't know if you have a question or if your hand's hovering near the camera.
No, I have a question.
Okay, go ahead, Dave.
And that is regarding the fall prevention program. Is that going to be one overall company, let's say, that then recruits or provides the plumbers and the carpenters for the various tasks?
Correct.
The reason I'm asking, I know a fantastic, honest plumber.
It would definitely have to provide more than just plumbing services. And there are companies that, like you said, can contract out different types of services. So
that's what it would be overall. You're looking for a company that takes the full responsibility, and then it's up to them to get the various people they need to provide the service.
Correct. They will have to conduct a home assessment with the client to determine what's needed.
Right.
And then they will coordinate the repairs with their contractors.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you, Erica. Is that all for your report? That was a lot. I don't want to cut you off too soon.
It was a lot. Like I said, we're very busy.
But all good. All good information.
Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you. And thank you all for participating and asking questions and wanting to volunteer. So now we are on to item number 10. And this is the top priorities for Orange County seniors. Now, this is the work product of our workshop and took all of those comments, wrote up the report, and then the executive board reviewed it and has approved it. And now it's coming to SCAC for your review and approval before it's presented to the Board of Supervisors. So it pretty much follows the same format on the first set of priorities that we submitted to the Board of Supervisors, which were the immediate needs. This one now goes a little bit longer term. And as we've discussed this year, you know, COVID has shown us that our long term may be 2 to 5 years. It's not 5 to 10 years anymore because we just can't plan that far ahead right now. So you've all had the opportunity to read this. This was in the agenda packet. And so now what our process is to approve it before it goes to the Board of Supervisors. As I said, the Executive Board has already approved this. So I'll turn it back over to Erica to review what we'll be presenting, and then it'll come back to me for the vote on approval.
Thank you so much, Elaine. So like Elaine mentioned, this follows the format that SCAC presented to the Board of Supervisors back in 2019. And obviously with everything going on with the pandemic, there wasn't one done in 2020. And so now that we're, you know, turning the corner and looking ahead in 2021, we wanted to make sure that with everything going on with the master plan for aging, that the priorities that SCAC developed were aligned with that for the coming year. And so the cover letter spells that out, that was really the framework that the workshop put together their priorities. And then the actual letter itself is really a synthesized effort of all the notes that we took during the workshop from the small breakout discussions. We were able to break those down into the top five priorities and really map those to the five broad goals under the master plan for aging. So as you can see, the priorities are housing and homelessness. And we talk a little bit about the current situation with the homeless population in Orange County in terms of the number of older adults in shelters. And then also point to the fact that, you know, as our demographics are growing, we have greater incidences of dementia diagnoses or hospitalizations for seniors that don't have viable discharge plans from those hospitalizations. So we wanna make sure that discharge planners and social workers that are working with homeless seniors have connections with the county's care coordination system to be able to provide viable options for discharge planning for homeless seniors as they're leaving the hospitals and entering back into shelters. And then the second priority is transportation. And this was really outlined strongly in the master plan that it's not just transportation in terms of how we get around, but really transportation beyond cars, how walkable and accessible are our communities for seniors. And as seniors age and they may lose their driver's license, you need your car in Orange County. Unlike other major metropolitan areas, we don't have a mass transit system. So transportation continues to be one of our top unmet needs. And it also continues to be one of the top reasons our call center gets requests for those services. And then also looking at transportation in terms of city planning, as our demographic grows, we wanna make sure that cities and businesses and residences have enough disabled parking spaces, and there's some close oversight and monitoring of who has those disabled placards and using them appropriately. And then the next one is mental well-being. And we were very intentional about saying mental well-being and not just mental health, because we know that this pandemic has had an overwhelming impact on seniors, both physically and mentally. And you don't have to have a mental health diagnosis to have been impacted by COVID. And we wanna make sure that seniors have access to you know, activities and support that are gonna support their mental well-being. And the county's Be Well initiative that was recently rolled out, that's a good model, but we wanna make sure that seniors are considered when planning those Be Well activities and initiatives. The next one is a topic that we have talked about pretty much at every single SCAC meeting since March of last year, and that is food and nutrition. And like I mentioned in my update, we are still continuing to serve about 40% more seniors than we were pre-COVID. But our hunch is that these are probably people that needed us anyway, right? It was just COVID that was the reason that they reached out for services and support. But we have to assume that this is now our new baseline, that many of these seniors that are being served emergency meals under COVID are probably not gonna go back to, you know, shopping for their own, preparing their own meals. Their mental and physical decline as a result of the pandemic has made them now eligible long-term for our services. And then the very last one is technology. And I'll say last, but definitely not least, because technology, and as it's written in the letter, is definitely interwoven into all of the priorities. And that's something that the breakout groups talked at length during the workshop, is we had that great presentation from that Get Set Up company as just one example of technology and bridging the digital divide for seniors. We know that technology is going to play a huge role in seniors re-engaging after COVID. Even as the senior centers start to reopen and think about what their programming looks like, we anticipate that there's going to be some level of virtual programming still offered at all the senior centers, even when face-to-face activities start to happen again. So when we look at seniors and technology, there's really three different issues. There's access to the devices itself. There's also access to affordable, broadband, reliable internet. And then the third issue is really education and training and the how-to, because you can give someone a device and you can give them access to reliable internet, but if they don't know how to use it, then it's not really going to be that helpful for them. So talking about the best way to engage trainers and volunteer groups, senior apartments, just really at the local level, what can we do to provide that education and training for seniors in technology? And I think that covers all of our goals or all the priorities. What I will, and I don't know what your sentiment or feedback on the letter is, Elaine and I worked together with this, with all the notes, and then we presented it to the SCAC executive board, and thank you Dave Tetzloff for reviewing and editing. I think the priorities are strong. I think they really align well with the master plan for aging goals, but we might want to think about putting some recommendations or some action-oriented statements to support each of the priorities. Because if this is going to go to the Board of Supervisors, what is SCAC asking the board to do? Just some food for thought.
Erica, I have a question for Erica. Do you think the OLLI program as a community service would be able to provide some of the technical information for those seniors, since they're already in Orange County, maybe they'd be willing to do an outreach program, even going to the senior centers and providing those classes?
I think that's an excellent idea. You know, I think that there's not going to be one answer. Like I said, there's going to be a variety of efforts. Seniors are going to learn in different ways. One of the things I really appreciate about Get Set Up is that it's for seniors by seniors. So and that would be the same concept with OLLI, because it's the seniors that are providing those classes. So I think that's a great idea.
That also might be a function of our technology committee, because different cities provide classes in their senior center. So that may be something that our technology, when we're looking at the education component of tech, that the subcommittee does look at to see, because I don't think it's consistent countywide. There may be, you know, different levels of classes, but I know in our city, you know, we do have them at the senior center. We do have classes in addition to the tech tutors with the high school students.
Yeah, and Bolena Park does also, and I know other cities do, and I think it's basically probably more affordable maybe than some of the other ones. I think ours is free, which is very affordable. So that also makes a difference on who's going to go in there. But the bottom line is, like you all said, it's seniors teaching seniors, which is an excellent way of, I think, for them to learn.
The other thing about the education and technology piece is I think we can't overlook the value in providing one-on-one education. Even talking with some of the senior centers and physicians in the field of geriatrics, the amount of time that they spend providing one-on-one individual instruction just to be able to get through a doctor's appointment, or even senior centers that are in regular contact with seniors that are coming to get their grab and go meals, to observe them over the last 15 months, they have seen the decline. They really have the mental and physical decline in just a short period for seniors. It has really accelerated the aging process. So to expect that they'll be able to feel comfortable coming to a large classroom setting, that may be appropriate for some, but not all. They really need to have an option where there is that one-on-one mentor or someone that can provide that individual instruction and meet them where they're at.
Erica, oh, Phil here, Mandeville. I think you're on the right track of, because as I read through this, it's great information, but it doesn't tell anybody what to do or how to do it or could be. So maybe we could do a committee or another committee and put some teeth into it for them to follow. I think you're right on.
And I think that this might be part one, because it's really informing the Board of Supervisors what SCAC's priorities are for 2021 and what the work of the standing committees will be focusing on in the coming year. So it might be appropriate to follow up with, and these are the things that we've been working on that are more action oriented that support each of these priorities.
Erica, Denise Barnes here.
Hi, Denise.
I've noticed that since I've become more aware of the diversity of the seniors in Anaheim, that a lot of literature is not put out in different languages. And that just does not serve anybody, especially the seniors. I would like to know that we have diversification, even in this group, whether it's Hispanic, Vietnamese, Asian. I mean, honestly, Orange County is such a melting pot. But when I find that the community in West Anaheim is not being served by even a flyer for COVID shots in Vietnamese or Korean or Spanish, I'm like floored. How could we miss that? And I think it'd be very well served for us to push that the whole county make sure that maybe even a disclaimer, if you need it in a different language, call this number. Because I finally called the county, Chafee's office, and got all the COVID numbers for all the different languages and posted it on Nextdoor. But my gosh, if our city is not even putting it out, can you imagine all those seniors overlooked? And it was overwhelming and disappointing to me to see that
we are all aware of our neighbors, we're all aware of our county, and we need to push to get more people on board, especially younger people too. Thank you.
Thank you, your point is well taken. Any other comments or feedback on either the cover letter or the actual priorities letter?
I'll add, excuse me. I thought that you guys did a fantastic job in summarizing in a succinct and concise way what that workshop did and entailed. So I really appreciate, I think this is a great communication that you guys have compiled. I see, when I read this, I see suggestions in here that I think you guys have done, but I guess if you are asking or suggesting that we need to, like, you know, definitely kind of bullet point, you know, this is what we want Board of Supervisors to do under the housing, and this is what we want the supervisors to do under transportation, you know, blah, 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 then I can, you know, I can see that. But I think you guys do in here, do make suggestions on what should be happening in order to further enhance these different areas. So, you know, I'm happy to participate if, you know, like Phil said, do another committee. I'm happy to participate in that, but I think you guys do a very good job of identifying. So more of a comment than anything.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that feedback. And I think that the acknowledgement that there are some things that are within the Board of Supervisors' purview and control, and also acknowledging that there's things that are not so much in their direct control, really sets the stage for how much can be done and how much you know, support and advocacy at the state level is needed.
Well, also, I think this brings an awareness that probably wasn't there prior. So I think, and that opens up discussions. And sometimes that alone may be what is needed for the individual cities and community centers, senior community centers, to be able to take this as a blueprint and go, hey, we could definitely, you know, have more classes on digital technology, or, you know, we could definitely change the wording to instead of mental, you know, health, mental well-being. You know, so I think it's great, and it does open up a lot of dialogue. So, you know, job well done.
Yeah, I think, you know, the asks are in the report, and they're in the paragraphs. They're not bullet pointed, but that may give us an opportunity to go back and follow up. Say, in this report we submitted to you, this is what we've outlined. Now, what has been the progress on this? And that may be a communication further down the road.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to say. You do it much better. I've got my kid on spring break who's on here right now. But yeah, I see that you give examples in there. So that's all.
Elaine? With the follow-up, is that something that we can state just in the cover letter, just saying we're submitting this and we will be following up with the Board of Supervisors in 6 months, a year, to see what help you have been able to furnish, and just put that in the cover letter, just indicating that we're not just submitting this, we're submitting this and we're going to be following up with you in regards
to that. I think that's a great idea, and that's appropriate, because then that lets them know that you expect some action to be taken, and we will be circling back with them. So I think that's entirely appropriate and a great idea. And we can work up, Erica and I can work on the wording with that.
Elaine, I have a question.
John.
Erica, does everybody understand the local plan, and perhaps the local plan might dovetail nicely with your outline here for SCAC because it's following the master plan goals, and many of your actions could probably be executed through the local plan. So I don't think you want to get too far ahead of the local plan. Just my observation.
Don, are you referring to the local playbook that accompanies the master plan for aging? Right. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. We actually, we have not had the opportunity to meet yet with the state directly on how they would like to see counties implement that local playbook. They have put out the offer. And so we're just trying to sync that up with our CEO's office, the Board of Supervisors, and the other county departments that provide programs for older adults. But we will definitely be taking the state up on their offer to meet with us directly on how they see us implementing that local playbook. From a timing perspective, I think that getting this to the, you know, in front of the Board of Supervisors during the month of May 2021, we've just gone through a really challenging year in terms of the pandemic and its impact on seniors. And because this hasn't been done since 2019, I think it's good timing now, but since there is going to be follow-up, it sounds like, that might be our opportunity to shift a little bit and customize it to the local playbook once we have more solid direction from the state on what their expectations of the county are.
Erica, agree totally. I'm just suggesting that the playbook might meet the concerns about execution. I think you're right. I agree with what you and Elaine have done. Again, I think I would caution against too much specificity at this point in time.
Sounds good. Thanks, John.
Hey, any other input or questions? Okay. Seeing none, Erica, do you have anything to add before we approve? Okay. Is there a motion to approve the letter as amended with an indication of follow-up and the report as presented?
So moved.
Second. So moved by Crystal. Is there a second by Elizabeth? Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Or raise your hand.
Aye.
Okay. All opposed, say no. Or give me a thumbs down. Okay. Motion passes. Erica, do we need a roll call vote on that?
I believe we do. I don't know if Jenna caught everybody. At least
okay. Elizabeth, could you please, you have the roster in front of you? You're muted, Elizabeth.
All right, here we go. Denise Barnes.
Aye.
Linda Barcelona.
Aye.
Elizabeth Busick, aye. Emilia Castro. Meredith Chalimi.
Aye.
Carol Downey.
Aye.
Elaine Genoway.
Aye.
Sherry Geyer. Sherry Geyer.
Sherry's still muted.
Third time, Sherry Geyer.
Yeah, Sherry's still muted. Go on. We'll hopefully she'll unmute while we're still taking the vote.
Jean Hernandez.
She just unmuted. Sherry, what was your vote? Sherry Geyer. I heard aye.
Okay. Jean Hernandez.
Aye.
Carolyn Inman.
Aye.
Larry Kramer.
Aye.
Irene Martinez.
Aye.
Jim Levy.
Aye.
Phil Mandeville.
Aye.
Nalita Mendoza. Nalita Mendoza. Crystal Miles.
Crystal, you're muted.
Aye. Sorry.
Okay. Patty Mouton.
Aye.
Phil Orland.
Aye.
John Poynter.
Aye.
Tony Rodella.
Aye.
Barbara Sloat.
Aye.
Sandy Stang.
Aye.
Dave Sullivan.
Yes.
Dave Tetzloff.
Aye.
Cynthia Thacker.
Aye.
Jeffrey Rodriguez.
I believe I'm a non-voting.
Okay. Evelyn Les Rosario.
Aye.
Susan Dobach.
Aye.
Okay.
And did you get Nelida Mendoza? Did you hear her vote?
No, I did not hear her
vote. Still muted. Nelida, you're muted still.
Raise your hand.
Nope. Maybe she stepped away from her computer.
Okay, and so there are some, the A's I did not call, the absentees. That was Tony Alivato, Laval Brewer, and Sherry Horn. I didn't call their names because okay. They can't answer.
But everyone present voted aye with...
Except for Nalita Mendoza.
Yeah, that's a no vote. So, or not a no vote, it's a non-vote. So, okay, so motion passes. So we will add the sentence that we'll be following up, and then this will be presented to the Board of Supervisors. Eric, I believe it's their May 11th meeting. At this point, we don't know whether or not it'll be presented in person. Most likely, it'll be presented in their agenda packet to them because of their restrictions on in-person presentations. Okay. Thank you all. That was a good discussion we had on it. And let me see, where is my second page of the agenda? I have too many pages here. Okay, we're on to item number 11, the standing committee reports. Jean Hernandez.
Well, most of it, I think our standing committee chairs are here, so I can let them report out. They all seem to be doing very well, very active, as my reports continually say. They're vibrant, they're energetic, creative, and they're doing a wonderful job. And I see all their faces smiling, so they agree with me.
I can talk first. This is Meredith with Health and Nutrition. As we all heard from Erica, we had a lot of increase in nutrition. In our March meeting, we did hear from our three nutrition providers, the City of Irvine, AgeWell, and Meals on Wheels Orange County. Beyond them sharing the numbers, they just really shared from their heart about what their organizations did to lift up during the beginning of the pandemic and going forward. I believe that everyone that listened to their presentations really had a heartfelt appreciation for what they've been able to do to serve older adults. I know that the City of Irvine even has been doing adaptations to serve seniors experiencing homelessness. Those folks that used to have a hot meal, now the meals are being distributed in a frozen fashion, but the senior center in Irvine will heat up the meals on the spot for people experiencing homelessness, so they still have a hot meal midday. We also heard about the new program that's being lifted by AgeWell and by Meals on Wheels Orange County, Senior Cuisine Delivered. For people 50 and up and their caregivers and dependents from restaurants all over the county. And so that's an opportunity to share with folks as well, that this is something that's basically replacing great plates. It's about $10 a meal, and it's a really good opportunity for people to have a nutritious meal delivered once or twice a week and also to support our local restaurants. Thank you.
I also noticed that at your next meeting, you're having two speakers.
Yes. So at our
great,
next meeting,
very enthusiastic committee.
Yeah, I know. And I have just such great volunteers that have all of these ideas. So thank you.
Did I lie?
Okay, well, this is Evelyn Velez. I'll speak for the Legislative Committee. This last month, we had a presentation from the office of Assemblymember Philip Chen. He is a Yorba Linda resident and represents the 55th district. On April the 19th, we will have our next meeting. We'll have Senator Pat Bates. She is the representative of the 36th district, which includes Southern Orange County. You're welcome to attend that. Last month, we had a presentation from John Pointer on all of the different legislative proposals that are pending, that are in various stages, and they were broken out by the master plan for aging goals. So in the first goal, which is housing for all ages and stages, there are five proposals. In the health reimagined goal, which is the second goal, there are 19. In inclusion and equity, not isolation, which is the third goal, there were five proposals. Under caregiving that works, there's one proposal. And under affordable aging, there's one proposal. These were just introduced to us last month. And in this next month, we're going to actually go over each of those. Well, some of them, we don't have time to go through all of them and just get an overview of what the different proposals are and of their status. Thank you.
The presentation from Housing and Transportation, we had a report from Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation. And year to date, they've done 1,663 trips. In January, they did vaccine trips of 146, or I should say year to date, excuse me. And they're also driving to Santa Ana and Midway City for pop-up vaccine pods. We had an excellent presentation from Habitat for Humanity from Sharon Ellis. They're building homes to assist housing needs in Orange County. Participants must contribute sweat equity to participate in the program, which helps build accountable home ownership. Participants must contribute 30% of their income to the new housing to qualify. Habitat also works with local banks for the home financing. The house never returns to the marketplace, but stays within the system. Three examples of homes that have been built recently are Tustin, San Juan Capistrano, and Stanton. The homes average from 1,400 to 1,600 square feet. They've also been working with the veteran population. The average cost to build a home is approximately $420,000 and takes about 10 months. The homeowner is able to build home equity over the life of the home. And their research shows that children from Habitat homes are 150% more likely to buy homes when they're grown up. The homeowners participate a greater deal in voting, community issues, and civic groups. This injects funds into the community and the homeowner pays their own taxes, home taxes. There's no fee closures charged, and we have volunteers from AmeriCorps and community service groups. They monitor programs with the homeowners, and to fill a gap, build 227 new homes since 1988 in Orange County. And interesting that I didn't know about, Habitat also has a repair program for seniors that need assistance with their current housing, and it's called Aging in Place. And Habitat also has retail stores with slightly used and new home items for sale in Anaheim and Santa Ana. And consumers can also buy retail products on their website online. And I think that's about it. Thank you.
Oh, great. Thank you to our standing committee chairs. You're doing a great job. Lots of good information coming through the standing committees. So that's why we put on the agenda who the speakers are going to be, because even if you're not on that standing committee, you are welcome to attend those meetings and encouraged to attend them. Because it's it's good information that should be shared by more than the maybe the 8 or 10 people that are on the standing committee. So thank you all. Jean, did you have anything else to say before we move on to the next item?
No, I would just say that I think the group's done a good job of obtaining speakers. They really do. The programs are outstanding.
Good. Thank you. Okay, now we're on item 12, announcements. Cynthia Thacker had an announcement or would like to speak to the committee. Cynthia?
Oh, I thought I might wait till the next agenda, but real quick then. I just want to know, as a senior liaison chair, if anybody has had any difficulty getting in touch. I'd like to kind of know, maybe I can help. I know I'm having a little problem connecting with my La Palma connection. So I know a lot of you are pros at this, but there's some newbies like me. And so I just want to reach out to you if you need any help, let me know, okay? Thanks.
Okay. Thank you,
Meredith,
Cynthia.
I will let you know because my two cities have not replied.
Okay, we'll talk, okay? Call me.
Thank you.
Okay, and now any other members, SCAC members who would like to make an announcement? Patty Mouton.
All right, good morning, everybody. I just wanted to remind you all that on April 22nd, we will have a really interesting workshop virtually on how the Master Plan for Aging calls out to important initiatives, access to palliative care, and encouraging completion of advanced directives. And the speakers will be local experts, including Dr. Vincent Nguyen from Hogue Palliative Care. Erica Danzak will be talking about the county's response for the Master Plan for Aging. And Jackie Mark, a senior policy expert from CalOptima, will be talking about how CalOptima will be gearing up to meet some of the goals and initiatives in the California Master Plan for Aging. And then in the fall, two dates just to mark your calendars. September 24th, there will be a conference involving all of the senior centers in Orange County. And it will be kind of a reimagining and how we can get people to come back out and re-engage with the senior center programming. It's planned to be a hybrid event with 7 senior centers having pod attendance in place, and the rest would be on a virtual broadcast format. So you'll hear more about it, but planning for that is well underway, and that will be in collaboration with the Be Well Older Adult Work Group. So it's another bridge forming of folks that are looking to re-engage seniors in a post-COVID world. And then October 8th is another date to mark on your calendar. That will be our Mastering the Master Plan event. It is going to be a bipartisan countywide event hosted by the Aging and Disability Resource Center, the Orange County Aging Services Collaborative, and Strategic Plan for Aging. And we have commitments now from about 6 elected officials to participate. And we are working on a Sacramento noteworthy speaker. And then we'll be talking about all of these issues that SCAC is looking toward to advance in sync with the master plan, along with many other senior groups and collaboratives. So important dates for your calendars. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Patty. Unfortunately, that October 8th date is the same day as our SCAC meeting, but it sounds like you have a great conference planned. So any other announcements? Any other words of wisdom for the group? Okay, before we adjourn the meeting, I want to remind you at 11:30 is the area plan update public hearing. All SCAC members are requested to attend. You received an email for the login. It is a separate login. And I know mine came into my inbox at 10:12 this morning. So it came in our inbox while we were meeting. So we didn't get the links confused. but that meeting starts at 11:30. As SCAC, we won't be saying anything, but we will be listening to any input that the service providers may have for the area plan update. So last year was when the four-year plan was created. This is done every 4 years. And now each year, there's just an update to it. So, but we are all requested to be there. So we will sign off for now, but then hop on a few minutes before 11:30 so that the Office on Aging can get started right at 11:30 with that public hearing.
Elaine? Oh, I'm sorry.
Carol. Yes, Carol?
What time did you say yours came in?
Mine came into my inbox at 10:12 this morning.
Oh, okay. There it is. I see it.
Okay, good. So we'll see you all in about 15 minutes.
Okay.
So you get a break. So we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.